You're listening to Naked Oceans with Helen Scales and Sarah Castor-Perry, and this month we're talking about life and death in ancient seas. Now, life on Earth evolved in the oceans around 4 billion years ago, but it wouldn't be life that we could see. The first complex life that we see in the fossil record turns up around 630 million years ago, but they still don't bear much resemblance to anything we see today. I spoke to Ken McNamara, the director of the Sedgwick Museum of Earth Sciences here in Cambridge, to find out more about the weird and wonderful creatures that started appearing in the fossil record over 600 million years ago. But first, he showed me a fossil of some of the earliest life on Earth that didn't really look much like a fossil at all.
This rather unprepossessing lump of rock doesn't look very exciting at all to look at, but in terms of what it actually is, it's the earliest evidence of life on Earth. So it's a lump of rock that's about 3.5 billion years old, and there's strange structures that are actually made by the activity of microbial communities. You've got the same sorts of organisms today, cyanobacteria, or what you call blue-green algae, making these same sort of structures in lakes and shallow seas today. They were doing it 3.5 billion years ago. And really, that's the only evidence of life in the oceans for a phenomenal period of time, for about 3 billion years. And then at some stage, you had the evolution of more complex cells, the cells of which animals and plants have made, eukaryotic cells. But it wasn't until you're getting much closer to the modern day, 600, 700, 800 million years ago, that you had these cells coming together and producing multicellular, more complex organisms.
So these other fossils that I can see here on the table, are they the first evidence of complex multicellular life?
They are. You find evidence there are trace fossils, trails of sort of who knows what made them worm-like things. And then seemingly relatively quickly, around about 600, just under 600 million years ago, you start finding really quite large fossils and complex-looking fossils. This fauna that's known as the Ediacaran, well, I shouldn't say fauna, Ediacaran biota, are either round jellyfish-type things or they're more frond-like structures. And so you can break them down into these two groups. They have, as I say, this sort of resemblance to later forms, but there's something not quite right about them. And the thing that's really not quite right is that I like to call them the gutless wonders, because you can't see any sign of a mouth, no sign of an anus, no sign of a gut. So there's this big problem. What were these things? Were they animals? If so, how did they get their nutrients? How did they feed? So the big question is, are they the ancestors of all later animals, or are they something completely different? And that's one of the suggestions that has been put forward a couple of times. Maybe they were a great evolutionary experiment.
So these were pre-Cambrian. So I think a lot of people will have heard of the Cambrian explosion of life, where we sort of saw this massive explosion of all different types of body forms of complex organisms. These are earlier than that.
They are, yes. They immediately predate the Cambrian explosion. Then you had this amazing change around about 540 million years. There's a relatively sudden change in the nature of fossils. At this time, there were probably sponges and things around, but at the beginning of the Cambrian, there was the relatively rapid appearance of whole groups of organisms that we're familiar with today, like clams, worms, even very primitive early fish, early vertebrates, much more familiar-looking organisms that have recognisable mouths. They have guts, and we even have the gut contents from some of them. We know what they fed on. And so we can see that they were developed this ability to feed off plants, but also to feed off other animals. So it's a completely different change in lifestyle.
And I believe you have some examples here in the museum of the most, probably the most famous examples of the Cambrian explosion, which are from the Burgess Shale in Canada.
Yes, we have some really good specimens here in the Sedgwick Museum, because this is where a lot of the original research was done in the last 30 years. So we can go and have a look at some of those if you'd like.
And so what are we looking at here then?
Well, what characterises, I suppose, the Burgess Shale is that their soft parts are preserved, but not only that, but in rocks at this age, we start finding that animals develop the ability to produce minerals, hard shells or spines, which is something that the Ediacaran animals just didn't do. The advantage of this is that there's a greater chance of them being fossilised, but surprisingly, there are a lot of deposits at this age where we have the soft tissue preserved. So we can learn a lot about the whole biology of the animals. One that I really like is this strange slug, worm, whatever-like thing here. It's called Wiwaxia, and it has what looks like a whole array of steak knives sticking out of its back. They're wonderful. You would look at them and say, it's got those because it would protect it. If something tried to eat it, it would get a mouthful of these spines, wouldn't taste very nice. It's also got armoured plates. And this is what characterises what really was going on in the Cambrian explosion. We seem to have the evolution of predators and prey. Animals develop this ability to feed on other animals, and this is what basically drives a lot of evolution, predation pressure. And so the predators are trying to outcompete the prey are trying to survive and come up with new strategies to stop being eaten. So Wiwaxia probably did it really quite successfully for a while. And there's another thing here called Halkyria, which is like a huge slug, but it's covered with an amazing armor. It's like sort of medieval armor of tiny, really hard plates. But we also have animals that are really quite similar to modern-day things. There are crustaceans there that really look quite like modern-day crustaceans, and we have a reconstruction that we've done of one of these. So there are some groups of organisms that evolved at this time and hit on the right, you know, body form and really haven't changed dramatically over long periods of time. They're interspersed with some of these weird things like the Wiwaxia with these steak knives that lasted for a short period of time, then for whatever reason became extinct. But we know that there were predators around because we have examples of these. And the most spectacular is this amazing thing called Anomalocaris, which is a sort of arthropod, so it's sort of related to lobsters and crabs and so on. And they grew up to nearly a metre long. Huge claw-like structures at the front and amazing mouth part. And one finds lots of other fossils of things like trilobites, segmented animals, now extinct, but with a big armoured head. And many of these you find with bits broken off them, just bitten, bite marks, and they've survived and they've sort of regrown part of the bite mark. So there's a lot of predation going on. Sometimes it was successful, sometimes it wasn't successful. So it's this, as I said, this sort of predation pressure that's driving a lot of evolution. And that's what really marks the beginning of the Cambrian explosion. And that's then sort of continued on through to the present day.
So this is kind of the first real example of things that we might recognize today, but also some pretty wacky stuff as well that perhaps wasn't as successful. I suppose it's really an example of evolution in action, things that have been successful and things that haven't.
That's right. It's really what you'd expect. Early on, you're going to have these evolution experiments. Some will work, some won't. There's another one which isn't shown here called Opabinio, which is a bizarre animal that had five huge eyes on its head and this long sort of thing coming out the front looked rather like a vacuum cleaner. So there were some really quite bizarre experiments that didn't work, but a lot of standard ones that did. And so we have these crustacean-like animals that are quite similar to things that are around today.
And I believe also some things that are perhaps related very distantly to ourselves as well.
Indeed. It's become realised relatively recent times that both in this deposit but also in other similar deposits, there's one in China, slightly older, called the Chenjiang fauna, there are worm-like animals, but they have distinctive structures in them, particularly a notochord, the sort of precursor of a neural spine, that do indicate that chordates, you know, that vertebrates part of, were around at this time. So these were sort of the earliest ancestral type fish which evolved into amphibians, reptiles and us. So our long-lost ancestors were lurking around in these muds in Cambrian times.
So even back in the Cambrian, amongst the wacky-looking fossils like Wiwaxia, you can find our ancient ancestors. That was Ken McNamara, director of the Sedgwick Museum in Cambridge. And if you check out our website, we've got some great photos of the fossils that Ken showed me. That's at thenakedscientist.com/oceans.
Are there really plenty more fish in the sea? Find out with Naked Oceans on the web at nakedscientist.com/oceans.